What's up, y'all? It's your girl, Kenelia, back with another episode of Black News, a podcast where we break down current events, hot topics, and local stories involving Black people. Now let's get into it. Cue up the Anita Baker, I apologize. Y'all hit the Anita Baker, I apologize. I'm so sorry, y'all. I had every intention. And side note, I know I sound a mess, okay? I was traveling. I had went on a vacation with my good girlfriends, my line sisters. Had a time this morning. Had a little congestion. So, considering the fact that I did a no call, no show last week on the podcast, no matter how congested I am this week, I am going to record the podcast. And I had every intention to. I just had a lot of traveling last week and literally had no time to put together something. I was even going to put together some like clips from some past episodes, like a rewind. I had no time to do any of that. Barely had a chance to pack, if I'm going to keep it a buck. But we're here, come hell or high water. Regardless of how I sound, I'm here. And I am so sorry for missing another episode, y'all, without telling y'all. I just, child, I need an assistant. You understand? I actually don't, because I don't be having that much going on. I just need to do better about remembering when I'm not going to be here with you all to make that announcement on the previous episode. Hey, but this last week, I really thought I was going to be able to pull it off, and I wasn't. So charge it to my head and my heart. Cue up the Anita Baker. I apologize. Believe me, I do. I'm honest and true. You see, I know I was wrong, and that's why I'm singing this song. Okay? I apologize. But, and because I was traveling, I don't know if like some craziness was going down. So for the sake of this episode, we're going to recap a couple of things that y'all know I find joy in. Y'all know I love award season. Okay. And in this first topic, I want to talk about, of course, the Black Oscar winners. 2024 Oscars was this past weekend. And there were two Black winners only. Well, I won't say that. There was somebody who won, I believe, for a documentary that was a Black man. But for the sake of this, I want to focus on two categories. I don't know how to pronounce that woman's name. I am so sorry, girl. I am so sorry, sis. And if I see you out in the street, I'm going to tell you I'm sorry. And I'm going to ask you, like, girl, tell me how to say it right, because I want to get it right. Okay. But she won for Best Supporting Actress in a movie for her role in The Holdovers. Now, this was the category that everybody was saying early in award season or before award season started. There was like, Danielle Brooks about to take it. Danielle Brooks gonna take it. Child, that we were saying that because we didn't know that The Holdovers was coming. Now, I did not get a chance to watch it when I received my screeners. I did not get a chance to watch The Holdovers. So I cannot accurately rate the performance, but I do know as soon as The Holdovers dropped and people started talking about it, people was like, oh, Devine, she taking it. Okay, now, because it's hard doing an award season run, there's a lot of press, there's a lot of pressure, it can be a lot of disappointment if you aren't winning things, because y'all know the shows be back to back. You got the SAG Awards in no particular order. SAG Awards, you got the Academy Awards, you got the Golden Globes, the Critics' Choice Awards, you got some of the small ones like the Santa Barbara Film Beach Film Festival, the Black American Film Festival, all of these ones. So if you're not winning, I'm assuming it can start to get to you. But Devine was able to pull off the win. And don't get me to quoting, I haven't Googled this stat, but based on what we know, it's probably no less. If we naming the Black supporting actresses that have won, now we got Devine. We have Viola Davis. We have Lupita Nyong'o. We got Monique. And maybe, oh, and Hattie McDaniel. That's five, if I'm not mistaken, in however many years. I'm not going to go down that because y'all know I'm going to get frustrated. Okay. We not doing that. But we are happy for Devine, and I'm going to watch the holdovers whenever I can get a chance. So kudos to that sister breaking down doors and continuing to push the narrative, especially too for plus size women in the business, because y'all may not know this. They be like casting and studios, they be dirty with people who are not skinny mini. And once somebody plus size win, now they're going to be like Devine Joy type. So it's about to be, who knows what's about to happen, but congratulations to her. Now, the next person who I want to talk about winning was Cord Jefferson. He won in the category for best adapted screenplay. Now, adapted screenplay means that it was a screenplay adapted from former source material. In this case, it was a book called, I believe, Erasure. He won. Other people in that category, it was American Fiction, Zone of Interest, Barbie, Poor Things, and Oppenheimer. I believe that's what adapted screenplay means. But Cord Jefferson won, rightfully so. American Fiction was a great film. If you have not seen it, I highly recommend it. Especially considering the fact that people keep talking about how it ain't no movies for black people out. And when the movies come for black people do come out, people don't go support them dang movies. So go see it. But his after the award speech, because you know they give a speech on stage, then they go back in the press room and talk some more. He gave another a little snippet or answered a question that is now going viral for multiple reasons. So let me play that clip for you now, and we'll talk about it.
Hello, Elle Marie with EUR Web.
Hi.
Hi, Corey. Congratulations.
Thank you.
I feel like you kind of foreshadowed your success with the character Adam Brody's Get Your Tux Ready, We're Going to the Big Show. And so here we are. So I want you to speak to the importance of being recognized for a film that shined a light on the stereotypes and also kind of poked fun of the stereotypes of black characters in film.
Yeah. Look, there's a Victor Hugo quote that he says, nothing is more powerful than an idea whose time has come. And so, you know, I was very passionate about this film. Everybody who worked on this film was very passionate about it. Nobody was there for the money because we didn't have any money. So people were there because they believed in it. And so to be here now and to receive this kind of response is it feels incredibly surreal. I'm so grateful for it. I think everybody on the film is so grateful for it. We didn't have a huge marketing budget, and so we relied on word of mouth a lot, and people who liked the film telling other people that they liked the film. And so, it is, you know, hopefully the lesson here, and it's kind of what I tried to convey in my speech, is that there is an audience for things that are different. There is an appetite for things that are different. And, you know, a story with black characters that's going to appeal to a lot of people doesn't need to take place on a plantation, doesn't need to take place in the projects, doesn't need to have drug dealers in it, doesn't need to have gang members in it. That there is an audience for different depictions of people's lives, and that there is a market for depictions of black life that are as broad and as deep as any other depictions of people's lives. Does that make sense? Thank you.
So, as mentioned, this went viral, and some of his other clips, some on both sides. Some are saying, oh, why he bashing shows about like gangster show, like they took it as a negative, and some people took it as a positive. There's also another viral clip of him on the red carpet and doing the press run this year where he basically says something similar, but he goes on to say, and I'm not making this an attack on any individual creator. I'm asking us to look at, why do we think the powers that be and the people who run the system keep green lighting that and not green lighting everything else? Because let me tell you something, this is from personal perspective. You know how people be sitting at home and we watching TV and movies and we hear announcements for remakes coming out and we see announcements for TV shows and it look like stuff that's already been done and people be like, why they keep remaking the same shows? Hollywood ain't got no ideas. There's actually a bunch of ideas out here. I personally, and I'm just one person, everybody I know got a script. Movie, TV, everybody I know got a script. There are ideas, but the studios, for some reason, when it comes to Black content, keep greenlighting a certain type of movie. Now, let me also say, y'all know personally, I do not have a take up big, as big of an issue with movies about slavery as some people do. You will never hear me say and discredit and say that those movies should not be made because human beings are behind those characters. Those are actual people's stories. And for me, I would feel like a complete asshole to say, you know what? Your 3x great grandmother doesn't get a chance for her voice to be heard and her experience to be listened to because you sick of seeing somebody on a plantation. You ain't gonna never hear that out of me. The least we can do is tell actual human beings' stories. Now, I also agree, though, with Cord saying, why is a certain type of movie greenlit over others? Why are studios willing to spend $200 million to get a movie made when they can just drop $5, $6, $7, $8 million to make a smaller budget Black movie that has nuanced characters? Because American Fiction is about stereotypes and what people go through and the links that they'll go through to get their stuff made. So, you know, and also for us as the consumer, because I talked about this a couple weeks ago, maybe a couple months ago here on the podcast, we have to support this movie. American Fiction got made its rounds by word of mouth. But if you're talking about box office numbers, it didn't do big numbers. Why? Because we aren't going to watch. We aren't supporting. When Book of Clarence came out, did you go see Book of Clarence? When Devotion came out with Jonathan Majors before all this stuff hit the fan, did you go see Devotion? When Chevalier, or I think that's how we pronounce it, came out, did you go see that? That was about a period piece about a Black man who played the string instruments. Did we go see that? So a part of the studio's decisions to make certain movies does lie with us because we show that we are not willing to support different types of movies. So while all of the onus is not on us, it ain't our fault because the man gonna be the man and we know how it is. We gotta do our part. So just wanted to throw that out there because that is a good conversation starter because he basically said, whether you feel the same way or not, whether I feel the same way or not, because again, I can see both sides to this. I'm not really taking a side. It's 1,000. You turn those stars and you got 55 drug dealer shows. Now I be watching them things. Okay. Listen, Power was my show. Okay. But Stars is basically being kept alive if we keep it in the buck by Black shows where the people selling drugs, they selling dope. Okay. And it's getting green light because it's about that making that money. But when Run the World was out on Stars, were we supporting that? Because that didn't get picked up for another season. Run the World did not get renewed. It is now off. So who we looking at? Stand in the mirror. Who we looking at? Us or the man? Let me know what your thoughts are about it, though. You can find me at Cornelia on social media. So last year I did a separate Black News Love is Blind recap. And it may not have been last year. It may have been a couple years ago. And for the second time, I cannot do that this time. This Love is Blind has wrapped up in there. And because it's not a completely Black news type facing show and content, I did not bring that up weekly. However, now that the show is wrapped, we're going to get into some chitter chatter about one of the other couples in particular, Clay and AD, because of the conversation that this has sparked all over social media. So in case you do or do not watch, Clay and AD made it down the aisle. However, Clay did say no at the altar. He said no to AD. If you watched the show, you knew that was going to happen. That boy did not like AD. Okay. He did not like AD, but he seems to have to be struggling with some self-worth issues. He brought up the fact that his daddy cheated on his mama every chance he got. AD says she ignores red flags. Come to find out that they were talking about, people were saying that Clay didn't know where AD's finances came from. It was just a mess. Right? It was just a mess. But one thing that came out on the show, and that Clay kept bringing up the fact that his father cheated on his mother, and it informed how he views long-term relationships. There was also a moment as a result, and because they were there for the wedding, where we saw Clay's daddy and mama on camera having a conversation about Clay and how it relates to their relationships. So let me play that clip and then talk a little bit about the kind of conversation that this has sparked across social media.
I didn't necessarily have the best role models in my life.
I know.
You know, I can't ever remember my father ever being a part of my life. And
listen, I've always told you I forgave her. But there are things that had came out in the end that I did not know about until this experience. I was hurt. Again, I'm divorced from you, but things that he shared with me that I did not know. So that's why I'm saying he took a lot on his back. And although we came from broken families, that doesn't mean that we have to pass on that brokenness to our kids.
Absolutely. Stop the bleeding, stop the cycle.
Right. Your past and things that you witness is part of your DNA, is part of your inside. And if you don't get freaking help, you bring that shit into the next thing. So the fact that he did this process, he wants to be in a long-term relationship. He wants that.
Gotta meet somebody like you.
Huh?
I met you. You know, gotta meet somebody like his mom.
Yeah, but you met me, but you wasn't good to me. Okay? So, we won't talk about that anymore.
Now, as a human being, first, I cannot imagine what it must be like to find out that my ex-husband was taking my son, our son, with him while he was cheating on me, and finding that out at the same time as the viewership, the public. I'd be pissed off. Even though they're not together anymore, I would be pissed off. This is my first time finding this out on national TV. One, two. When Clay Daddy in the video that we just heard said, yeah, you need to meet somebody like his mom, like you. And she had to say, yeah, you met me. You wasn't good to me. And that stupid look on his face when she said that stupid look. People were on social like, yeah, she ate that. She told him she ate that. I'm willing to bet $20, okay, because I ain't been a large amount of money. I don't do that. But I'm willing to bet that is not that man's first time hearing that. But just like men who do wrong, or women who do wrong, or individuals who do wrong, when you tell them about how they did wrong, oftentimes you got to tell them again because it just flew right out of their brains. I'm willing to bet that is not Clay Daddy first time hearing Clay mama say that to him. You could tell by that stupid look on his face. But the conversation that is sparking, and I love this for this reason. I hate that these shows make the contestants look bad, because we'd be just on social media dragging them by. We ain't saying me. I'm saying everybody else. But it is giving us a conversation about expectation in marriage and generational curses and trauma and behavior and showing up as mothers and fathers for our daughters and sons. Because if you watch the show, essentially it seems like Clay admired his daddy and looked up to him as a role model. And his dad's behavior traumatized him so much that he has this commitment phobia or issues and is carrying this weight that's not even his. He's literally carrying on his childhood trauma. So the benefit of these shows is allowing us to see in real time what it looks like from the other side so that we can actively work on our own issues and our own BS. A lot of people don't realize the things that you do throughout your child's life, they remember and it has an effect on them. It shouldn't, but it is. We learn and grow based on what we see and have access to in our around. And if your father or your mama be cheating like that, it's going to affect how you view things. It could affect it in an extreme way. It could affect it in a small way. It can mean that you never want to do that ever in your life. It can mean that you become a serial version of that, but it's going to affect you in some way. It also shows the example of even if you didn't have the best role models, you need to find some better ones. I always like to say when people be like, because I've dated a couple people in the past who have blamed their bad behavior or their cheating on the fact that their dad did it. And that's all I saw growing up. And I don't know no healthy couples. And I don't believe in marriage because all the marriages I know, they bad or terrible. And whenever I used to hear that and still hear that, I always say, well, that's just more of sort of a reflection of you than it is of the institution of marriage, relationship, and partnership, because you get to pick your friends. And if all the people and the examples you pick ain't shit, then that means that that is more of a reflection on what you're gravitating towards versus what you are seeking out. Because personally, I know some good relationships. I'm not seeking out the trash ones. If you are, that's on you, playboy or playgirl, okay? And also, I think this is, and I just insinuated that and talked about it, stop passing on trauma and brokenness to people. If you broken, get you some help. If you want to have kids and you broken, get you some help. If you want to date and you broken, get you some help. If you want to sleep around and don't really care how you treating people, get you some help. If you don't have good relationships with your parents and you don't know why, get you some help. Like, ain't nobody beneath getting them some help. I'm just appreciative that there's shows like this that while it's entertaining and it can be messy and all this other stuff, we are seeing versions of all of ourselves in these people, and they're not characters, they're human beings. So I would just hope that we take whatever we see and run with it, not run with it, but take it and learn from it. But overall, what did you think about this past season of Love is Blind, honey? I think they actually need to go older and go up in age because the people that they be casting on these shows, they playing games. And the successful couples that are on there, they had a more mature presence about them. Even the last couple, even Tiffany and Brett, they were in their mid-30s. So this whole 25, 26, 27 thing, that ain't cutting it. If they're serious about the show, and yes, it's a show, so they're going to have drama and cattiness and all of that. But if they want to re-solidify the credibility of Love is Blind as far as it being a show where you can genuinely find love and get married, they're going to have to up them ages. They're going to have to up them ages. They need to be 30 or up above. And I would even push 34 and up. But hey, I know they're going to do that because that's in entertainment. That's considered old. But let me know what y'all thought about this past season, in case you watched. Hit me up. You can find me at Kanelia on social media. On this week's episode of Black News, we talked about the 2024 Oscars, the speech by Cord Jefferson, and also her Academy Award win for Best Supporting Actress in a Motion Picture. We also talked about the viral moment that went crazy on social media recently in regards to Clay and his parents having a conversation about cheating and family dynamics. Hit me up and let me know your thoughts about all of these topics, some or none, and I'll check back with you guys next time. That's it for this week's episode of Black News, y'all. Thanks again for supporting the podcast by sharing, liking, subscribing, and rating 5 stars on your favorite podcast app. To find more information about me, you can check me out at Kenelia on social media, as well as on my website, which is Kenelia.com. And as always, thanks for supporting, and I'll be back next week with new topics and a new episode.